First this morning, I'm wondering if you were watching the second part of that quite excellent documentary on RT television last night, The Killing of Father Niall Molloy. It has reawoken interest in the case, and indeed it has introduced it to a whole new group of people who don't remember what was quite a sensational case back in 1985. Father Molloy, who was parish priest at Castle Coote in County Roscommon, found dead at the home in Clara in County Offaly of Richard and Teresa Flynn in 1985. Richard Flynn subsequently acquitted of manslaughter, and following claims that the crime was not thoroughly investigated in recent years, the Garda's Serious Crime Review Team reviewed the case. A file was sent to the DPP, but at that stage the office directed no prosecutions. On a more local note, Father Molloy spent time as a priest at St Anne's Parish in Sligo Town many years ago, and many of you out there remember that. We've talked a couple of times down the years with his nephew Bill Maher, who features prominently in the RT documentary. Indeed, he gives a very moving account in it of how important it was for him and the family to keep Father Niall's memory alive.
It's a sad journey back here every year. It's another year, still battling on. It's frustrating. I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer I can keep doing it. But I'll keep doing it. It has to be done.
It has to be done. Bill, good morning to you and welcome to the programme.
Morning.
And just on that, it is getting harder as years go by for you and the family.
Well, it is, you know, because we're still battling with institutions of the state are dragging their heels and refusing to give us information that we're entitled to and should be out there in the public domain, you know. I don't understand why they're still so reluctant to just hand us over information. For example, the transcript of the trial, we were told it didn't exist because it was never recorded, and yet I'd read it, you know. I mean, so I only got it a few months ago when I explained to a prominent judge that I'd actually handled the report. So, like, 35 years on, yeah. They're still fluffing about, you know.
I'll come to that in a moment, but generally, over the 2 weeks of the documentary, what sort of reaction have you had, have the family had to this? The one thing that comes across to me is that for those who don't remember it, and of course we have to be of a certain age to remember it and unbelievable huge it was, but those who had heard about this and saw this for the first time were simply amazed at what happened and what didn't happen indeed.
Indeed, you know, and the documentary, I must say, was extremely well done, and they tried to tell the story so it was, you know, watchable. But people nowadays have satellite TV and they're watching programs like that on Netflix and other places, you know. And the younger generation have been quite a few of them have been in touch with me and said they can't believe Ireland was like that. And I have a website now which has had over 20,000 hits in the last week since the programme went out. I have quite a bit of information on that. But yes, it has brought it to a new audience. And I know Sharon Lawless, who has spent 4 years on it, is anxious to do more because with time constraints and legal restrictions, there's a lot still on that she couldn't say, obviously.
Yeah. One of the disturbing parts of last night's, the second part, was the fact that vital exhibits and information are no longer available and went missing mysteriously down the years.
Indeed, yeah. The GSOC report was said that files had gone missing and all the forensic evidence, and there's no record of when they disappeared or why they disappeared. The Gardaí still haven't responded to that report by GSOC, which I find a bit unusual and a bit disappointing. But there again, that's what we're up against, you know. Silence still in modern times.
Yeah, and modern times were very different back in 1985. And again, for those watching the documentary, and I've been talking to some people who watched it and weren't aware of the case, they were quite taken aback at the fact that in a situation like this, when somebody is critically ill or possibly dead at that stage, that a parish priest is the first person to be wrong. And then maybe a family doctor and maybe family members.
Yes, but I mean, it was hours before they even contacted police and they didn't ring an ambulance. You know, I mean, I grew up in the country. My father was a GP, and if there was any accident or anything, I don't know if 999 existed then, but you just rang the operator and they put you straight through, you know. It was. We find that very disturbing. Now, we got medical evidence from a Professor Harrigan in Trinity in 1988, but it's similar to what you heard last night, but the guards discounted it and didn't look into it any further. It disturbs us to think that Niall was, A, attacked in his friend's house, a house that he had his own bedroom and interests in, and he was left there for hours without anybody doing anything.
Yeah, and that does seem to be the case, which must be particularly difficult for the family. And there was evidence, again, for those who haven't seen it, and I would urge them to access it on the RT player. There was evidence last night suggesting that even though he was in an unconscious state, perhaps, he could have been saved if more prompt action was taken, which must have been very difficult for you.
Yeah, I've been told that before as well by other pathologists. If he'd been brought to the local hospital, there was a great chance of survival. So somebody made the decision not to do that. But yet Theresa Flynn was whisked off to hospital before they even contacted the guards. And her medical report or alleged condition, we weren't allowed to see it or they wouldn't release it.
It's a difficult question for you to answer, Bill, but to those who will say... It was of a time, to use a dreadful expression in the case of someone who was murdered, but it was of a time, you should let it go. It does it really matter all these years later? What good is going to come out of a reinvestigation or a re-examination of the case? And I think you want a commission of investigation to take place. But it's obviously still very important for you and the family.
It is, because I want to know who's behind the cover-up and I also want to know why it still seems that they're trying to keep it shut. But, you know, it wouldn't have... The family had been looking for a commission of investigation for years. So this isn't anything new. And despite the only reason that it's dragged on and we're still fighting is because the state hasn't done anything, hasn't set up a commission. Could have been all done and dusted 20 years ago or longer. In fact, in 1988, it could have been done.
Okay. Will it ever happen, do you think? And will it be set up, Bill, considering?
Who knows? There doesn't seem to be any great political interest. I mean, as I think I said in the documentary, the politicians are always interested in it when there's a... an election looming, but you know, once they get in and get their feet under the ministerial desk, then they just go blank and forget about it.
Okay, so as you say, there was only a certain amount that could be contained in the programme for legal reasons, but suffice to say,
we know an awful lot more.
So all is not as it apparently seems. You would think.
No, but I mean, it's the programme. I think. Is good viewing, you know, and they told it in a way that's very watchable and very professionally done. And they said as much as they can in within the 2 hours. You could probably do an eight-hour series on it.
Right, okay. As we could see, and we could hear from you and you know, your siblings and your cousins as well. The family have been and continue to be deeply, deeply affected by this,
though
it's so many years later.
And the parishioners, as you'll have seen in the first episode, you know, the commissioner or the parishioners have completely backed me all along. And every time when I go down to the Mass every year, if it's been in the papers or something, they say, keep going, Bill, keep going. I've had emails from people in Sligo who remember him and have encouraged me to keep up the fight, you know.